conference will now be recorded.
All right, well, it's 10 a.m. I want to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Product Approval Program Oversight Committee meeting of Thursday, August 8th, 2023. First order of business is to remind folks about our telecom participation process since we're meeting virtually. Be aware of background noises. Please keep your device muted when not speaking. Please do not put your phone on hold if you're joining by phone. We'll have to disconnect you. Please wait until invited by me to speak. We'll stack names at the appropriate times. And each time you speak, please state your name. And commissioners, please state your name each time making and seconding motions. Okay, let's determine that we have a quorum. Do a roll call. Commissioner Hershberger?
Present.
Commissioner Compton? Commissioner Swope? All right. Commissioner Tolbert? I know Tim's on. Tim? You must have dropped again. Could somebody contact him? Oh, there he is. Tim, you're there, but you're muted. Well, I'm marking Tim present because I see that he's on and he spoke a moment ago. Commissioner Wilcox?
Present.
Okay. Tim, are you able to unmute yourself? All right. Somebody just joined by phone. Would you identify yourself, please?
It's Tim Talbert again. Cut out on me. I'm in a bad area.
All right. Well, number nine is Commissioner Talbert, and Tim, you are present. All right. Well, we have three.
And DeLeo joined. And I just want to let you know.
We'll let you. When we get to that agenda item, we'll have a chance. But thank you. Okay. We've got three of five. I'm going to check one more time to see whether Commissioner Compton or Swope have joined. And Melissa may be sending them an email or something. It might be helpful just in case. But we do have a quorum, so we're ready to proceed. We have representing the Department of Business and Professional Regulations, Tom Campbell, Alyssa Campos, Sabrina Evans, Mo Madani, and Justin Vogel. I see also Marlena Peters is on. So, and then I'm Jeff Blair, the commission's facilitator. Commissioner Hershberger, I'm going to turn to you to go take care of the agenda in the minutes and then go from there.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Good morning, everybody. Are there any changes to the posted agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda as posted?
I'm going to need either Commissioner Wilcox or Tolbert to respond. You might want to unmute yourselves.
Steve Wilcox, I move we accept it.
Okay, Steve. Tom, sorry, could you mark caller number four as Steve? That was the missing number that we had, Commissioner Wilcox. Before. Go ahead. Sorry. Tim, can you second it? Well, he seems to be having audio, so Commissioner Hershberger, if you'd make the second and call the place.
Yeah, I'll do the second, and is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. And we'll get in that truck.
Aye.
Okay, motion.
Hey, all right. Tim, are you able to respond? All right, sorry, go ahead.
Sounds like Tim's having a lot of trouble with his location.
Yeah.
Are there any revisions or additions to the posted meeting minutes or the facilitator's summary report for the June 8th, 2023 meeting? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes and report as posted?
The National Average for Regular 3.
Steve Wilcox, I make a motion, we approve it.
Right, I heard you talking, Tim. I wasn't sure what you said.
Got a second, Tim?
Got a second?
Apparently. Go ahead.
Okay, not knowing for sure, I'll go ahead and second that. And all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Minutes and facilitator's report Passed unanimously. Next, we move on to the report of conditional approval.
Yeah.
All right, next we'll move on to the conditional approvals from the June 20th, 2023 commission meeting. Glad to report that all of the conditions from the June 20, 2023 commission meeting have been met. There's no action required for this agenda item. Next, we'll move on to Melissa. Can you please provide the product approval and entity statistics reports? Melissa, you're muted.
So sorry. For the 2020 code, we had 7,574 approved applications, bringing us to a total of 8,279. And then we had for the entities, we had 30,546, bringing us to a total of 33,171. And then we also had for the approved entity applications as well, we had 127 with a total of 438. Now, for our 2023 code, the product applications, we had a total of 509. And we have for the product applications and statistics, we had a total of 2,252 total. With that being approved of 1,147. And we also had, for the entities, we had 127, and that brings us to a total of 438 for the 2023 code version.
Thanks. Thanks for your report, Melissa. There's
You're
no
welcome.
Committee action needed for this report. So next we'll move on to 4C, which is the complaint filed by Mrs. Yiping Wang with regard to FL15709 Windor. The complaint was filed by Mrs. Yiping Wang with regard to product approval. This product is manufactured by Windor, Inc., the professional engineer who developed the evaluation report for the product and who serves as the technical representative for the product, is an employee of PGT Innovation. I am not only the founder, but I still serve as the chairman of the board of directors for PGT Innovations, which is the parent company of Windor, Inc. Therefore, because of the conflict of interest, I will recuse myself and will not be participating in the discussion or voting on this matter during today's meeting. Jeff will step in and take review the overall sequence of steps in the process and then facilitate each step of the process in turn. Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I start, is Commissioner Swope on the line now?
Yes, I am. I apologize. I was on the phone and completely lost track of time.
Great. Well, we're glad you're here, Brian. So if you would mark caller 10 as Brian Swope, please, that would be great. All right. So we now have four of five commissioners present, which is good. All right. So I'd like folks, especially the respondents and the attorney, et cetera, who aren't necessarily familiar with our process, to listen closely to the instructions I'm going to give you because we're going to follow them strictly. The sequence of steps we'll use in this process is first, I'll ask our legal counsel, Justin Vogel, to discuss the legal framework for reviewing complaints within the product approval program. Then I'll ask if either first any POC members, and then if Ms. Wang or Mr. Miller or Mr. Miller's representative have any clarifying questions. Now, let me make this extremely clear. Clarifying questions are restricted to seeking information and clarification on something that you don't understand regarding, in this case, the legal framework or whatever the topic is before us, not to express an opinion or a comment or any point counterpoint to what's been stated by legal or staff or whomever we offer clarifying questions to. And I will be very strict about that, so please, if you have a question, Do not couch a comment in the form of a question because that's not a question. Okay, then we'll hear from the complainant. Ms. Yiping Wang, I have an opportunity. She'll, that.
Okay, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, but please hold on. I'm explaining the process. Please mute yourself. Okay, I'll let you know when it's time. Then the complainant and whoever is speaking on that side will have 10 minutes total, which is much longer than we generally opportune, but we want to provide a fair opportunity. Then POC members can ask clarifying questions of the complainant in terms of their complaint. Then the respondent, Windor, whomever, whether it's Wynn Miller and or their attorney, Mr. DeLeo, will have the same opportunity, 10 minutes between them to respond to the complaint. POC members will then have an opportunity to ask clarifying questions. Staff, in the form of this time, Mr. Momadani, will have an opportunity to provide the POC with relevant information. And as you know, there's a document called General Notes that staff Mo submitted. Then we'll provide an opportunity for clarifying questions on that from POC members, from Ms. Wang, and from Mr. Miller and or Mr. Miller's representative. Again, clarifying questions restricted to something you don't understand about what was presented, not about it, you know, what you think about it or agree or disagree. Then we'll take public comment. Public, as always, will have 3 minutes for each person who wishes to speak. That at the conclusion of public comment, we'll come back to the program, to the commissioners, to the program oversight committee for their discussion and action. There'll be no additional public input at that time. Of course, commissioners, POC members are free to ask questions of anybody at any time throughout the process if they wish, and feel free to do so if you need clarification or additional information. That's not a problem. Okay, with that, I'm going to turn to Justin. Justin, would you please provide us with the legal framework for reviewing this complaint?
Good morning, yes. I'd like to note that Commissioner Hershberger has provided a memorandum of voting conflict, which will be included with the minutes for this meeting when they have been drafted. All right, POC, so the Commission has received a complaint about a product which has been approved under the State Product Approval Program. At this juncture, what the POC is tasked with doing is reviewing the complaint and making a recommendation to the Commission about whether or not to initiate an investigation. According to Rule 61G20-3.014 of Florida Administrative Code, the Commission shall initiate an investigation of product noncompliance on the basis of a written complaint, including substantial material evidence. So you need to evaluate the complaint and determine whether you think there is substantial material evidence of a possible violation of the rule provisions. Rule 61G20-3.0131A provides that any product approval shall be revoked or suspended for any of the following reasons, and goes on to list seven. The two that I think would be most likely to apply to this complaint would be subparagraph 4, failure to demonstrate in a manner consistent with this document that the product's performance complies with the standards established by the code, and possibly subparagraph 6, determination that the product was approved based on misrepresentations in the application for approval. Keep in mind that at this point, the POC and ultimately the Commission is merely looking at whether there is sufficient evidence to merit conducting an investigation. It isn't weighing in on whether there has actually been any violation or not. If the Commission decides to initiate an investigation, then pursuant to the provisions of 61G20-3.0141B, the Florida Administrative Code, the investigation would be conducted by the manufacturer's certification agency, evaluation entity, or test laboratory, and the validation entity, which certified compliance with the code standards. In this case, we would likely be leaning heavily on the validation entity, which is required to retain all documentation pertaining to product applications and to cooperate with any commission-ordered investigation. So at this point, if any POC member has questions about the process, I'd be happy to take them.
Any commissioner have any questions regarding the legal framework? Okay. Does the Ms. Wang, do you have any questions regarding the legal framework for which the POC and then subsequently, if there's a recommendation for to proceed with an investigation with the commission? You are muted, so if you're trying to speak, you need to unmute yourself, please. Do you have any questions regarding the legal framework for which this committee will be reviewing the complaint?
I don't have questions.
Okay. Either you tell me who you prefer. I call either Lynn or Mr. DeLeo. It's up to y'all, you know, however you want me to do it.
I can respond.
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Sure. We have no questions at this point.
Right, thank you. Okay, very good. Then let's proceed to the next component. So now, Ms. Wang, you will have up to 10 minutes. I'll give you some sort of a warning here and there in terms of your time. I'll start the timer as soon as you say your name and your representation, you may start. So please proceed.
Okay. We actually happened to find out this.
I'm sorry to stop you. Just for the record, if you could just say your name and your representation, and then start.
Okay. My name is Yiting Wang. I'm a professional engineer. I work with MCY Engineering Inc. Yeah, that's my name and the company name. Okay, let me start my conversation. We don't usually look at other people or check or review other people's product approval. We just happen to see this product approval with the glass. Because we checked the glass before, we found out that the glass capacity is like around less than 50 PSF. But when we look at this glass, this product approval, we found out the product capacity is about 90 PSF. That is really shock to me. So I think I looked through, we checked everything, we found out we feel that there is a problem, maybe something missing or something in the product approval. So we just would like to remind the committee and the engineer who signed the CEO this product approval to double check their analysis. And if there's any problem, I think that they should correct it, because this is if something varies so much, like capacity, that our capacity and their capacity is like 95% difference. So I think that might cause big damages. So that's the reason I think as a professional engineer, I should speak out to avoid if any serious problem happens or before anything happens. That's the purpose of I'm doing this. Even I spend a lot of time, my team spend a lot of time, or we don't have nobody pay us, but we just want to do things right. Okay, this is one thing. The other thing is we just focus on engineering things today, the meeting. That's what I want to focus on. We did we provided a calculation for monolithic glass because monolithic glass is stronger than composed laminated glass. In this product approval, they used the three slices of glass with two interlayers, composed this glass to one piece. In SEC 7, SEC E1300, they have one section to provide the monolithic glass calculation and the laminated glass calculation. Usually like a two layer laminated glass, like two layer of glass. But in appendix X9, which provided a method of to check three-layer laminated glass, more than two-layer glass calculations. That actually calculates the effective thickness of glass. So to compare when it's laminated glass, what is the effective thickness through the monolithic glass. But definitely, monolithic glass with the same thickness as laminate glass, monolithic glass is stronger than composed section of laminate glass. So at the first email, we provide our calculation for monolithic glass capacity. The capacity is only like 48 PSF around that. So we think if the monolithic glass, which we use the is two methods. One is from our calculation, number by number by the formula from Eastern Country. The other method is by the public program. They also give us more or less the same result of like less than 50 PSF. So we think no matter what method Mr. Miller take to analysis this glass capacity, the capacity cannot be greater than monolithic glass capacity. So because he consider the competitor reason. I couldn't understand if they don't want us to see his calculation. He thinks his calculation might be some blah, blah, blah. But we provide our calculation. And we, based on our calculation, on our conclusion, we can see their glass capacity cannot exceed the monolithic glass capacity, which is only like 48 PSF. And in their approval, the glass, they have 9 PSF. The point I have right now, the glass is only two, we are talking about, is two size supported glass. In their product approval, they have like three lines of glass. I think they also tested that way. In this specimen, because the details are not that clear, but from what I see in their product approval, there is only one light of glass is 2 point supporting the top and the bottom. Other three lights of glass is three size supported. Three size supported glass capacity are stronger, but 2 point glass, only top bottom supported glass is much weaker, and they have only one light tested in the specimen. So based on Florida building code, let me give you the section. The three lights of glass should be tested according to as per TS 201 and 203. They have only one light of glass tested with that. And this glass, what's the condition? Most critical condition in the specimen, they have only one specimen. They should test the three specimens in order to meet the test requirement. So from test of view, they also not even complete the comply with the Florida building code. And by calculation, we already demonstrate the monolithic glass should be stronger than laminated glass with the same thickness, the same size, everything. But the capacity is much higher. And we were wishing from the email back and forth, either they can provide any information, doesn't have to be calculated, some supporting documents with data showing they are 90 PSF is correct. Or they should point out in our calculation, what mistake we have. That we can move on. I'm not interested to, I know his process is correct. He has validated everything. That is fine. But once we see the problem, I think as a professional engineer, you should face on the problem and view everything as an engineer to make everything correct. That's the most important thing.
Just to let you know, you have about 1 minute left.
Okay. So that's my conclusion. Their capacity is actually much higher than the glass capacity should have. That's all my point.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. We will. I'll ask if any of our POC members would like to ask Ms. Wang any questions regarding her complaint.
Thank you.
Either Commissioner Swope, Tolbert, or Wilcox, do you have any questions?
None at this time, no. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, well, on that basis, I then will I will turn to the respondent, Windor, and Mr. Pelayo, the respondent's attorney. You'll have 10 minutes, too. Once you state your name, I'll go ahead and start your time, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Dan DeLeo of Shoemaker Loop in Kendrick, and I'm here on behalf of Windor, Inc. I want to thank the commissioners for an opportunity to address this issue. First, I want to note for the record that I filed a formal written response to the complaint that outlines in a clear, simple, direct manner exactly why this complaint is without merit. I see that it has become a part of this record. So to the extent there are questions, one can refer to that. Second, I want to introduce Lynn Miller. Lynn is the Code Compliance Manager for PGT Innovations, which is the parent company of Windor. Mr. Miller is a professional engineer in the state of Florida, and he is available to the commission should you have any questions at all. I want to begin by talking about this complaint that relates to product approval 15709.11, just by noting what's in the record. There isn't any competent evidence in the record now that would allow this commission to conclude that there is substantial material evidence to conduct an investigation. In fact, the record is devoid of evidence. What we have here is a very clearly framed issue. And here's the issue. The complainant badly misunderstands the approval process. The complainant argues without any support that there's a safety issue because an element of the product approval at issue does not meet ASTM E1300. That's the issue that's pointed out by the complainant. However, as was pointed out in the staff notes, and as we pointed out in our written response, the configuration of the product at issue is clearly outside the scope of ASTM E1300. That applies only to single and double laminated glass. This product contains triple laminated glass. So a different standard applies, as was pointed out in our written response. And because the product at issue passed TAS 201, 202, and 203, there can't be any safety issue. So in short, the product clearly complies with the building code. There has been nothing at all that has been put forward by the complainant that challenges that fact. Nothing. Not the calculations. Nothing. And the complainant is simply wrong. They're wrong because they point first to the wrong standard. That standard does not apply. But that's only half the story. In fact, Windor went above and beyond what was required. Under the code, Windor could have done either testing, which we did, or analysis. In fact, Windor did both. According to Section 2404.4 of the 2020 Florida Building Code, it says, quote, the load resistance of glass under uniform load shall be determined in accordance with ASTM E1300. But it goes on to say, quote, for designs outside the scope of this section, an analysis or test data for the specific installation shall be prepared by a registered design professional, end quote. That was done. Here, Windor was only required to provide either test data or analysis, but it did both. So you have before you now a very clear record. An allegation was made that was incorrect regarding the applicability of E1300. That does not apply to this product component. The product passed all safety and compliance testing. The product complies with the code. There is no issue. There's nothing in the record before you, which I have reviewed. There's nothing in Ms. Wang's comments today that could provide any evidence, much less substantial material evidence, that would cause you commissioners to conclude that an investigation could be conducted. To the extent you have any question about this, I would refer you to our written response, particularly to the two sections of the code we cited, first FDC 61G20-3.0051D as in dog, that describes this issue, and then secondly 61G20-3.006 that talks about product validation. So here the product was evaluated specifically by professional engineer Steve Urich and determined to be in compliance with all applicable standards of engineering principles in the code. And as we mentioned, testing was done and it passed the testing. So at the end of the day, commissioners, it's very simple and I don't think I need to say anything else because there frankly isn't anything else in the record for me to address. There is no evidence in the record to support a finding of substantial material evidence, and I would ask you to conclude that an investigation is not, in this case, required. To the extent you have questions, I'm happy to answer them, or Lynn Miller is happy to answer those questions. So thank you for your time. You're muted, Mr. Blair.
Yes, thank you. I was trying to unmute it. I said thank you for your presentation, and then I'll ask if any POC members, any of our commissioners have questions regarding the respondent's presentation, which would be Commissioner Swope, Tolbert, or Wilcox. All right. Sounds like there aren't any clarifications needed. Let's now turn to our DBPR staff Technical Director, Mr. Mo Madani. Mo?
Yeah, good morning. This is Mo Madani. Can share the screen, Jim?
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jim. Again, I put together some notes to help really kind of, for the committee to mainly ultimately formulate a position on this issue. As you see in the general note, we have the complaint and we have heard from Ms. Wang, and also we have heard from a representation of Lynn Miller, who's the evaluation engineer for the product. The issue as it's presented here, the complaint is that this product does not meet ASTM E1300. That's the complaint. In terms of Mr. Mindy, the evaluation engineer, Lynn Miller's response is that, hey, you know, this product has been fully tested to test 201, 202, and 203 as required by the FPC for the high-velocity hurricane zone. In addition, as indicated, also the evaluation engineer has attempted to demonstrate compliance with 1300 through engineering judgments. The product that in question, which is FL15709, we're talking about revision number 11. So this product has been in the system for a long time, and currently is approved under the 7th edition 2024 of the building code. The manufacturer for this product, as you heard, is Windor Inc. The issue is the product is window and it's a subcategory fixed. This product is approved for both the high-velocity hurricane zone and outside the high-velocity hurricane zone. It is an impact-resistant product, and design and pressure rating for it is 90 PSF. The product or the configuration of the glass or the glazing is kind of, I will call it unique or special. It's a triple glass, seamless, 7/8 inch, and the makeup of it is a glass type 2, heat strength glass, 1/4 to 3 layers, and with the laminations or plastic lamination in between. The compliance method, this was approved based on an evaluation report submitted by the evaluation engineer, in this case, Lynn Miller. This product mainly, in addition to a review or validation by an engineer, which is really the administrative validation, it does require technical validation. And the reason for that is that Lynn Miller is also an employed individual with BGT. So he is really, he works for the manufacturer. So in this case, he's not an independent third party. For that, the process is triggered what you call technical validation. We'll go over it in a few minutes. Compliance test standard. This product was, you know, as shown in the application, has been tested to test 201, 202, and 203, which is the high velocity hurricane standard, has been tested to AMA A440, has been tested also to other impact resistance standards as permitted by the code, ASTM E1886 and ASTM 1996. So this, in terms of the standard, what required by the code for those, this product has been certified as meeting those standards. The tests for this product were done by a fenestration testing lab, QAI lab. Those are labs that are approved by the Florida Building Commission. The quality assurance for a product is Keystone, and the validation engineer in this case is Stephen Irish. One thing, as I mentioned, about technical validation, normally when a product like this, where the engineer is not a third party, so it's mainly not independent from the manufacturer, the section 61G20-3.006 require that the product also go through what you call technical validation, meaning that the engineer or the validation entity, as stated here, shall validate that the product meet code using it, and shall review the engineering calculation and make sure that those engineering calculation met the complying requirements of chapter 61G15-36. So this product, not only went through administrative validation, it also went what we call technical validation, which is in-depth validation review by an independent Florida licensed engineer. One thing you want to, as was mentioned in the discussion earlier, first of all, when the issue here is that does this product meet the standard requirement of the Florida Building Code? And that's really what we're trying to answer here. First of all, in Chapter 24, Section 2404, it does require that vertical glass, which is also a vertical glass, that they have to meet ASTM E1300. And it says, really, if this product is outside ASTM E1300, then it says under 2404.4 other design, it says for design outside the scope of this section, an analysis or test data for a specific installation shall be prepared by a registered design professional. So give the option, hey, you know, you can do testing or you can do engineering based on good engineering judgment. As I mentioned before, this product has went through a very extensive testing based on the code requirements. As I mentioned here, just to give you that where the code requires testing for this product, section 1709.5.1 requires testing to AMA standard 8440 or TAS 202 high velocity hurricane zone. Also for impact, it does require the testing test 201, 202, and 203, and ASTM E 1996 and 1886. Those are optional for impact. However, this product has demonstrated compliance with all these standards. One thing I want to bring to your attention, test 202, 94, which is for the high velocity hurricane zone, for the test loading, it does require 1.5 times the designer load, which is really just a major factor of safety that's also accounted in the testing for this product. After reviewing, I went through and reviewed ASTM 1300. The code referenced the 2016 edition. As outlined here, all the non-factor charts that's really provided by the standards does not really include the product in question. So, and also it does have appendices that you know for somebody to explore, but all these appendices are non-mandatory information. So we cannot really, say they are required. So and based on this and all that, it's clearly that this product falls outside ASTM E1300. So that will take us to really the code section, which is it says in Chapter 24, is that 2404.4 other design for design outside the scope of this section and analysis or test data for a specific installation shall be prepared. So if you do testing or you do analysis, so in this case, this product met all the testing standard required by the code. So in conclusion, here's my final notes as a staff. The glass configuration of the product in the question falls outside the technical scope of ASTM 1300-16. In fact, there is no minimum required standard or procedure given or implied in ASTM 13 for the product in question. The code does not specify a specific glass load capacity limit for the product in question. Therefore, the glass load capacity limit for the product in question would be as tested, and the product has been tested and demonstrated compliance with the code. So to me, I don't see any substantial material evidence where really there is a problem here. In fact, the engineer, the evaluation engineer, did attempt to, show kind of equal determination for through rationale engineering analysis for compliance with 1300, but that's really just the discretion of the engineer. I don't see the code require that. So that's what I have. If you have any question, I'll be glad to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. Does any POC member have any questions of Mo's review? I asked if any POC member has any questions. Okay, then I will then ask if, and please don't respond until I call on you, first Ms. Wang and then Mr. DeLeo, if they have any questions. I want to remind folks what a clarifying question is. It means something you don't understand about what was presented, not that you don't agree with it or that you do agree with it, or a point counterpoint. It's merely, and is there something you specifically don't understand about what Mo just stated, what it means, for instance, then that's a clarifying question. Anything else would be a discussion, and we're not going to be having a discussion or debate. So, Ms. Wang, would you have a clarifying question you'd like to ask of Mr. Madani? You're muted now. unmute yourself. Somebody seems to be having difficulty unmuting. Jim, she's not muted from our end, right?
No, sir. No, sir.
Jim or Tom, can you confirm that she's not muted from our end, from the...
Unmuted.
She's not muted from my end.
Okay, great, thank you. Ms. Wang, are you not able to unmute your computer? Or...
There you go.
Go ahead, if you have a clarifying question.
Okay, regarding the test, they do test as per TS-201-202-203, but there is another requirement based on FOIA.
Sorry, Ms. Wang, I'm sorry, but that's not a question, that's a comment. The question is, a clarifying question is, there's something you don't understand about what Mr. Madani stated, not whether you agree or disagree or anything else along those lines, because that we're not going into a discussion. This is an opportunity for you and Mr. Leo to clarify something you don't understand about what he said. Like, I don't know what this means. Could you explain what that means? So it has to be a question to Mo. If you have a question, we're happy to entertain it.
Okay. My question is, the testing, they say they passed it, but they did not say how many specimens they passed. So I don't understand. My question is, to pass this test, if the specimen meets the requirement, you do pass this, but how many specimens you tested to meet the requirement?
Mo, do you want to respond, please?
Yeah, I think really, first of all, in terms of getting into how the test was conducted, whether the specific of it, we normally in the product approval, we rely on these test labs that have been approved and accredited to conduct the test as required by the standard. So we have two test labs that did conduct the testing and certify this product meets the standard. And that's really where, in terms of the specific and all that, I cannot add anything. However, if, Mr. Miller or anybody else is fine, but at this point, really, my focus is really that this product has been certified to meet the standards as required by the code.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Again, you're not asking questions. You're debating. I'm not going to allow that. So I'm being real clear about it. So please refrain from that and only speak to, is there something you do not understand about what Mr. Madani presented? Go ahead.
Can I talk?
If you have a question, you may, yes.
Yeah. My question is the testing lab has authority, has rights to approve? They do approve what you test or what you pass, but what you qualify is that a testing lab can decide what you qualify?
Didn't sound like a question, but Mo, if that's something you can respond to, go ahead, then I'm going to go over to Mr. DeLeo.
Not really. As I mentioned to you, we rely on the test lab to provide, whether the product have met the standard or not. Now, I don't see anything in there other than in the product approval is that there is a certification in there that the product as tested met those standards and all that. So that's the extent I can answer this question at this point. Thank you.
Okay. I'm assuming then that you have no additional questions, correct, Ms. Wang?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You do have a question or you're done?
Yes, I do have a question.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a little latitude, but I'm going to tell you right off the bat that your questions are more like sort of questions couched in a comment couched in the form of a question. So one more try. Go ahead.
Okay. My question is, I can see the testing lab, they have performed all the tests, and they probably qualified the three-side supported glass. But the two-side supported glass as a testing lab is not engineer, professional engineer. So I don't know if that can count what they say is what qualified. I really don't understand. Based on whatever is tested can qualify everything.
Okay, I think that you've asked all your questions. Thank you. Mo, is there anything you wish to respond to that?
Not really at this point, no.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wang. I think that concludes the questions from your side. Mr. Lay, I would respectfully ask from you the same professionalism in terms of asking actually a question if you have one, sir.
No questions, sir.
Thank you, and thank you for using restraint. Okay, then let us move on to public comment. Is there anybody from the public that would like to comment on this complaint? If you would, please state your name, and you'll have 3 minutes. Anybody from the public wish to speak? Going once, twice. Okay, then that will conclude both information from the public and or the respondent complaint, respectively. We will now turn to our commissioners, our POC, for your either questions, discussion, and action. But Justin, if I am correct in this, in essence, they would determine that there is or is not substantial material evidence submitted of a possible violation of the rule, and then recommend that the commission either initiate or not initiate an investigation. Is that a fair framing of it?
Yes, essentially. They'll be making a recommendation whether to initiate an investigation or not.
Okay. So the motion would be that you recommend the Florida Building Commission either initiate or not initiate an investigation regarding the complaint against FL15709 Indoor Inc. Commissioners, turn to you for discussion and or motion.
Jeff, hey, it's Brian Swope. I got a quick question for you, kind of on the lines of your last comment there. Being that we're here to either open it, basically to open investigation, if there's no motion to make the investigation, is that just, we have to make a motion one way or the other?
Yes. The commission needs a definitive recommendation from the POC.
Okay. Just checking.
Sure.
I don't see definitive, based on what I've heard, I don't see definitive answers. So I'll make the motion not to open the investigation.
All right. We have a motion to recommend the building court. We have a motion and a second from Commissioner Swope and Commissioner Talbot, respectively, to recommend the Florida Building Commission not initiate an investigation of FL15079. Is there any discussion from commissioners on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously, and that will be the recommendation to the commission. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate your participation in this process, and we will now move on to the next section of our meeting, which is the review of approval of consent agenda of entities and product approvals. We have 14 entities recommended for approval on the consent agenda. Does anybody from the public wish to speak on any of those entities recommended for approval? All right, then Commissioner Hertzberger, I'll turn to you for a motion on that.
All right, thanks everybody for your time going through that process. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda of product approval entities? There's 14 of them recommended for approval as posted. I need a motion, guys.
Commissioner Swope, Commissioner Tolbert, Commissioner Wilcox.
Motion to approve.
Tolbert, okay.
Thank you.
Steve Wilcox, the second.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Any more discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 It sounds like it's unanimous. Motion passes unanimously. Jeff, I'll turn to you for the consent agenda for product approval applications.
Chairman, we have 110 applications on the consent agenda for approval. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on any of those recommended for approval? Hearing none, I'll turn back to you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda of products recommended for approval to the 2020 code?
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second, Sloan.
Thank you, guys. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Again, motion passes unanimously. Product approval applications with comments. Jeff.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, we have two applications that with comments recommended for approval, which is FL 42117 and 42119. Is there any public comment on either of those two products? If not, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn to you for the motion on those.
Thank you, Jeff. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda of products with comments recommended for approval to the 2020 code?
Steve Wilcox, recommend approval.
Thank you, Steve. A second?
Second, Sloan.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And motion passes unanimously. And now we have the consent agenda for product approval with conditional approval. Jeff?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. FL 42095 is recommended for conditional approval to allow the applicant to provide the requested connection details and to correct the typo from door to wall. And FL 4122 is recommended for conditional approval to allow the applicant to add the mullion dimensions and material. Is there anybody from the public that wants to comment on either of those two? All right, hearing none, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn to you.
Thanks again, Jeff. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda of products with comments recommended for conditional approval to the 2020 code based on the conditions recommended by DPPR staff?
Motion to approve.
Over.
Thank you, Tim. We have second?
Wilcox, second.
Thank you, Steve. Any more discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. Jeff, you have a review of the consent agenda for DPPR product approval app?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. In essence, we have, I believe it was, where did I lost? 82 applications, none with comments, so all are fine and are approved.
Great, thank you. Moving along, we're almost wrapped up here. Is there any public comment? Is there any additional POC member comments? Any staff member comments?
Thank you.
All right, thank you everyone for your participation. Thanks for your willingness to sit here for the hour. And you took care of the situation very well, and I appreciate that. Our product approval next POC meeting is October 5th at 10 a.m., and we stand adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.